I'm delighted now to welcome back to the program Issa Nyafaga. He is a multimedia artist and activist, and he's up to all sorts of things that we're going to tell you about. For example, tonight at 7:30, he is part of the UN Youth Assembly organized by Santa Fe Prep and is giving a talk called The Necessity of Global Citizenship. That's at the Roundhouse tonight. And he will also be teaching a class at Santa Fe Community College upcoming. We'll be talking about that, too. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
So you are always up to the most amazing things. And the latest is that you, as a person from Cameroon, living in the United States and part-time also in Europe, are able to help affect change in your country that you wouldn't be able to do if you were living there.
Yes, that's true. But I also have to say that I did not choose all this fight. They chose me because I find myself in the situation where I am the only person with the resources that I have, the network, the global network that I'm sitting on, who can do that difference, who can make that change in the life of these people.
So one of the things that has happened recently is that there is a major problem in Cameroon, as there is in many countries, where gay people not only do not have rights, but they are imprisoned and persecuted, and Cameroon
right.
is one of those countries.
Yes, I know these cases, but last year, for example, I was going home because I run a summer program for my own organization, which I raise funds here in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Amnesty International Sweden asked me to try to investigate and find out what's happened to a young man called Jean-Claude Roger Mbede. He was in prison for sending a text message to another man. So the Cameroonian government condemned him for 3.5 years, and he spent 16 months in prison, and he was sick, very, very ill.
For sending a text
message
to a man?
Yes, because the Cameroonian law said that it's against the law to have a sexual activity with two persons from the same sex. Like
right.
two women and two men cannot
connect.
Make love. Yes.
Right.
So that's what they're standing for. And I do think that is wrong, because I don't think that we're supposed to go to prison for what we do in our privacy. So this is why I chose that mission.
So you found yourself in a situation where you were able to actually intervene and help this guy. What happened?
What happened is that when I arrived in the country, my common sense was to go to the prison where I went to, because I was a political prisoner in Cameroon. So in my city, in Douala, I went to that prison to look for him. And then they say he wasn't there because the gay rights are considered as political issues. So he probably going to be in the prison in Yaoundé, in Kondengi. So I was also part of an event in the city. So I met the lawyer there, and then the lawyer loved my work, and I told her that I'm looking for one of your clients, which is Jean-Claude Roger Mbede. And then he said he's going to be at the court on Thursday. You come and then you meet him. So, and I found out that Jean-Claude Mbede wasn't at the court because they did not sign for his release to go to the court and have and be freed.
He was supposed to be freed, and they just forgot to sign his papers?
He was supposed to leave the prison to go to the court to get
okay.
judged. And he had been doing this trip from the prison to the court like more than 17 times.
Right.
So that day I have to sign his document, and then they took him to the court, and then his lawyer said that they missioned somebody from the U.S., which is me, to observe the court. So he was free that day. And so I also pay for his transportation from the prison to the court. So I sat with him, and then he told me all his story. Then I took notes, and because I was also a journalist, I said, okay, this deserves an article. So then I wrote the article that I sent out that will be in the website of Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch.
And so this is a great example of how, even though you're from Cameroon,
right.
you were considered an observer from the United States, and that actually helps
right.
this guy's case.
Yes, yes. Because also, you know, in the country, even government officials don't know what's going on around the world, but I do know, and also know how this government acts in the country For example, Cameroonian government has signed a lot of international conventions to be part of the international community, but they are also in conflict with the law that says if you have to go with another man, if you're a man, you go to bed with another man, it's against the law, it's controversial with the international human rights.
So they've signed on to human rights conventions and they're not following themselves?
Not at all. And also in a country there are only two lawyers, Alice Nkom and Michel Togé, who defend human rights in the country. And lately they've been having threats, like the families have been receiving text messages saying that they will go and kidnap the kids in school and turn them into homosexuals, which is very horrible. And so I've been trying to connect with a network of lawyers who are human rights defenders around the world just to support these guys, because I also have my own local fight, which is art and social justice in my village. Where I take doctors and also a social worker, you know, to support the community.
So you are in a situation where in Cameroon, I mean, are there a lot of people imprisoned for being gay?
Yes, there is. There are over 100 people in prison. And then the Cameroonian government still sending people in prison for very, very heavy sentences.
And this is something that, as you say, Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, Lawyers' Rights Watch in Canada, all sorts of groups, lawyers' groups from Switzerland, they're all coming to Cameroon to bring light to this issue.
Right.
Is it having an effect?
It does, but the Cameroonian government is very, very stubborn. And as you know that I was torturing myself for 2 weeks, so it's very, very brutal government. That's why we also need public education from a local leader in Cameroon, because I don't want the situation to be like contrary reaction, you know, like they're getting all this support from the West, then they're going to be like, this is a threat for us. So we also need to reach out to community leaders, because there is very traditional local leaders who can speak to the public and then get them to understand what homosexuality is. Because today in Cameroon, they think that when you sleep with another a person from another sex, you're doing black magic, or you're connecting with evil, all sorts of things, you know. So they don't know really what homosexuality is. And then this local leader also needs some public training, you know, to understand what homosexuality is. So that's what I'm standing for.
Right. And so is there a movement? Is there a movement in villages and cities from one place to another of gay people and their supporters? Education and just letting people know that they're not up to black magic, for example, things like that?
No, yet. Actually, they are very marginal, and then they're hiding themselves to meet, and then they have their own net club, which is not official. And I do think it's not right. And also, we should also know that in the point of view of the West, even marriage from one man and another man is very conservative. Like, Africans don't kiss in public, you know. But I'm not saying that that's what the gay is going to do. But they should not be going to prison for what they do in the privacy. Because
right.
There's also a law that says you can't get in anybody's privacy like that. You know, so it's open space for just denunciation. And all the cases that have been in Cameroon, all these people are in prison, it's just based on denunciation. Nobody have been caught making love with other people, because you know that they don't do that on public, they do that in privacy.
Right.
So, and it's like the snake biting his own tail, and I think we should stand against it. Not only in Cameroon, because I'm not doing this for Cameroon, I also want to inspire other African who are intellectual living in the West to do that for their own community, because most of the time when Africans leave Africa, they don't want to look back. So I don't feel like America is a very amazing place. Like, I love Santa Fe. It's my city. I'm involved in a lot of things. But I also don't want to forget where I came from. I do want Africans to be inspired by this pilot project.
One of the things that you do, we're talking to artist and activist Issa Nyafaga, is, for example, you gather together supplies, you make it possible for people who are sick to get surgeries, you bring medical supplies, generators, books, textbooks, all sorts of things that you get from other people in other countries. People have contributed here in Santa Fe and in France.
Right.
And you
everywhere.
Bring them back to your village.
Yes. I also have to say that, you know, I send a few emails every day, and when I sit down and look at the month that I just finished, I realize that in the long run, I save 3 to 5 lives every day by sending emails. This is what I do. I just reach out to people. And then the only thing I have to do is just organize events around the state here and in France where I have lived before. So people organize events for me in their home to collect money, and then I come and perform. So you know my performance.
Yeah.
I body paint with live music, and then music is based on improvisation. So that's what I do.
Body paint with live music. And the next time you do that, we will get you back on the radio for a moment to let people know more about that, which
sure.
is a wonderful experience. Give us some examples. When you say you save several lives every day through sending emails, what does that look like?
It looks like 2 days ago, I sit online and I enter a word lawyer and human rights defenders, and I fell in several networks and I collect those addresses and I send them email and say, I was involved with the case of homosexuality in Cameroon, but right now the lawyer are being threatened, and I just wanted to let you know that this case is going on in Cameroon. I also have to wait for the U.S. election to pass because attention of people were kept by Hurricane Sandy
right. And
then the presidential election. So
now, not only were the people themselves threatened with jail and are going to jail, but the lawyers defend them are
yes.
also being death threatened.
Yes. So and then only 2 lawyers in the country, and also one of them want to move his family in the U.S. right now as we're talking.
He's moving his family just because he doesn't want them to be under.
Yes, but he may also choose to live here. So there would be only one woman lawyer, which is Alice Combe, defending human rights. So it's a very, very critical situation where, you know, there's not that much lawyer defending rights of people, but also one of them moving just to live in the country to come here. So it's like a very big threat of the human rights values that we sit on. And we can't let this happen. So I sat on my computer and I did the research and I wrote to those lawyers. And then right away, Lawyer Right Watch Watch Rights in Canada.
Lawyers you know, Rights Watch
yes,
in Canada, yeah.
Yes, just replied to me right away and said, we're not aware of this. And how did this happen? And put me in touch with this guy. I want to do something. This is how I can save many lives. That I felt like this is a start to save these 2 guys' family, you
right.
know. And then maybe more lawyers will be inspired to just support a fight. So this how it looks like for me to be chosen by a fight like this and then sit down and save several lives a day.
You are speaking tonight at 7:30 at the Roundhouse. It's part of the United Nations Youth Assembly organized by Santa Fe Prep. Tell us about that whole event.
The event is around this United Nations Youth Assembly from Santa Fe Prep, which is a school that I work with every day. The necessity of global citizenship is based on how I see my own life as a global citizen, because I have lived in different places around the world. I live in Cameroon, I live in France, I live in Geneva, I live in Washington, D.C., New York, and now in Santa Fe.
Yep.
And I think what really, really make me global citizen is because I'm connected to all these people and I know all the neighborhood of all these places where I've lived in. And it also make me a very progressive mind because I only meet people who think like me. And I look like an African man, but when I start talking, all my images, the way I look disappeared, and people are into my soul, and I'm connected with them. And also, this is what I've been doing in Santa Fe, that, you know, I know more than 7 teachers that I work with every year in public schools. So they call me for different things when they have a problem with intolerance in the school, they have a problem with hatred against Jews or Black or Latinos, or then they call me and say, you work and your story, or what you do and how you behave every day, the kids want to be around you and listen to you and do art projects with you so they can open their minds. So this is what I'm going to be talking about tonight. It's just based on simple things like the way that I feel when I woke up every morning.
Now, in the new semester, you're going to be teaching a class at the Santa Fe Community College. It's called Art, Social Justice, and Creative Expression.
Yes.
little tiny topic there.
I think it's a drawing and painting class, but that I'm going to turn into a cartooning and also fan object painting. So it means like a 2D, because I like people to be very, very inspired and be critical thinkers, because it's very, very important that we don't see life as the mass media present it to us. we also have to have our own critical observation of the life through art. So this is something I'm going to be teaching as a cartoonist who I've been teaching also in many institutions for like over 10 years. And we have another class called fan object. It means that we have to recycle what we have around us to turn into art. And also I've been doing that for many years. And this is something that I'm so happy that the dean, Michelle Hesbrook of the Santa Fe Community College, giving me an opportunity to do this spring and invite people who can sign up for the class so we can have fun for 16 weeks.
Very nice. So no money needs to be spent on expensive art supplies.
Not at all, because we can also use our brain just to, you know, go shop in the nature and bring things and put them together and inspire art.
Now, it was your political cartooning that landed you in jail in the first place.
Yes. So, there wasn't any classes even in my country where you can take art classes or take cartooning class. So we have to read other papers coming from different part of the world and adapt it in the young democracy that was started in Cameroon. But unfortunately, we have to go to jail and get tortured and people get disappeared. But I am very, very fortunate that every morning I stand in front of the mirror and look at myself and say, I'm very, very lucky man. That's what I do every morning. It's like a kind of a ritual, because I think since I walk out of that prison, I have a 17 year of gift, you know. So I enjoy my days like it was the last one.
You are also doing yet another project, which is you're bringing a community radio station to your village of Nditam, Cameroon.
Yes. I'm working on that project with another filmmaker, Santa Fean, called Sophie Romanier. Sophie Romanier has a father who was a journalist and trained a lot of African journalists and give them scholarship here in the U.S. so they can come for training. And then he's retired and he's joining on this project. So we're starting community radio for women to affect, to improve the life of women in the village. So the radio will be installed by empowered by solar panels, and then local journalists will give training to indigenous people who run the radio for their own language. So we're raising funds now to just get this project going, and anybody who can support is welcome.
How many languages are there spoken around you at home?
At home, 260.
Good heavens.
Languages. And then we have also English and French as the official language. So that's what we use to communicate with the rest of the world. And then we also have Pidgin English. And Pidgin English is a very interesting language. It's a very low quality of English mixed with the local language. And you can find Pidgin English in Hong Kong, in Hawaii, in Ghana, in Thailand, in Malaysia, and I think that's how democracy should be. It should be inspired by local culture, not something that we come to establish with the value from another part of the, from another culture. It doesn't work. You know, it has to come also, it be inspired by local culture.
Now, tonight, if people want to show up, can anybody just go over there to the roundhouse?
I think so. It's a public space. It's the tax mayor. It's money from the taxpayers.
Right.
So
okay.
There's no way that nobody can access and listen to us. But I like to inspire those children, because they're going to be leading the world tomorrow, and I don't want them to miss what I experienced. And, you know, so this is only reason why I'm doing this.
Well, it's such an important concept, the necessity of global citizenship in our interconnected world, especially environmentally, but in all these other ways that you've been talking about tonight, human rights and so on.
Right. And also because we live in the age of fast communication and technology. And can you imagine, Mary Chalo, that I sit on my keyboard and I talk with somebody in China, and sometimes it's 1 o'clock here, but in China it's like
2 in the morning,
and then we're just like we're touching each other, but we are on the keyboard, and then it's very, very necessary. It's huge necessity to be a global citizen today. It's very, very important.
If people want to find out more or get in touch with you, is there a web page or a Facebook page?
I have a Facebook page on my name, Isa Niafaga.
And I will connect to that on my website.
Yes, and I also have a website where people can see my project, and it's very, very sustainable project. And this project also is very inclusive, because anybody has a right to come and see what we have been doing with the money. Like yesterday, donation got from France to the village, And those people can also go to my website. It's www.hitip.org and donate there, you know, to support the project. And they're allowed to come during the summer with us. I prepare everyone to come.
Issa Nyafaga is a multimedia artist and activist. Thank you so much for being on the air.
My pleasure. Thank you.